Welcome to the North and South of Things podcast, a show dedicated to discussion of topics important to the LGBT community and the community at large. Here are your hosts, Mark and George.
Welcome to the North and South of Things. I'm George in Atlanta. Please join me in welcoming my co-host, Mark, a.k.a. the Laughing Buddha. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well, George. We're coming up here on the precipice of 2020, and I don't know what's going to happen.
It's a frightful, thing. I was chastised and corrected on Facebook earlier by someone who is one of those people who like to remind you that the decade doesn't end until the end of 2020. I'm like, yeah, nobody, you are. He even said, I'm giving up that fight. I'm like, yeah, you should, because nobody's doing that anymore.
Yeah, there are far too many grammar police in the world, I think.
You know, just conjugate your verbs, get your subject and verb tense together, and I'm okay with that.
That's right.
But, yeah. Well, what's the weather like up in your neck of the woods?
It's been absolutely abysmal. We just had the last couple of days another snowstorm come through, so we've had about 7 inches of snow in the last couple of days. I haven't left my house since... when was that? Saturday, I think.
Wow. So Kathy Bacon is posting these really crazy snow pictures from her place. How much total accumulation do you have?
Well, with what was on the ground now, it's a solid 8 inches or so. We had unusually warm weather, and a lot of our snow cover actually melted, which is not typical for this time of year. This time of year, we have highs in the low 20s, and this past week, it was in the 40s.
It's the annual tradition of me coveting everybody else's snow while everybody else thinks I'm an idiot for coveting their snow.
It's okay. I mean, snow is very beautiful, and as long as you're not dealing with it for six months of the year.
Yeah. I guess we could stop saying the grass is always greener. We can just say the snow is always... No, that sounds really off. We won't say that. Snow is... Anyway, you know, we started off this year, Mark, with a list of we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're not going to revisit that because there's no shame here.
That's right.
That, and I can't remember what I said I was going to do, but it was a pretty good year in general. I mean, it was definitely better than 2018. I heard your last episode of the Scooter Diaries. Maybe not the best year.
It's been pretty chaotic. I'm just kind of girding my loins for more of the same. I think if you listen to Faye Driver's Christmas Day run, he did say something that's kind of inspired me for 2020. He says to go ahead and make the change that you know you need to make, and to face your fear and to go for it. So I think those words of advice are good for all of us as we look towards the beginning of a new year. It's, you know, I think you mentioned on your last show about the ending of some chapters and some beginning of new ones. I think this is a good time of year to kind of reflect on what's gone before and kind of think about what we might want to accomplish going ahead.
I love that. And I think we're going to take a little different approach today, kids. We are actually going to look at 2019 through the lens of our five senses.
That's right. Humans have five basic senses, which are touch, sight, hearing, smell, and taste. And the sensing organs associated with each send us information to the brain to help us understand and to perceive our world around us.
You know, before we regale our listeners with what smelled the best in 2019, this could go wrong in so many ways. Before we do that, let's do that whole, like, if you were stranded on a desert island with only one, a deserted island with only one of the senses. First of all, that's an awful scenario. But if you had only one set, let's say two, the one is really harsh. Sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. If you were stranded on an island and you only had two, which of those two would that be for you?
I think
you?
For me, I would take sight and taste. Because you know me, both of us are accomplished home cooks and we like food. And I know for me, I'm such a visual learner and a lot of my information that I take in through the world is through sight. I don't think I could really navigate the world very well if I didn't have that as one of my primary senses.
Yeah, I hate to be a copycat, but I think that's exactly what I would do. Sight, I literally don't think you could survive without it. Hearing, it's a close second in terms of taste or hearing, but I think I'd have to go with taste. I mean, to not have that ability, I mean, it would be one of your few pleasures, if you could call it that, on a deserted island, and to not be able to taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be awful. Okay. Well, that was joyous and fun.
But thank goodness we don't have to choose or live with just one of those five senses. Most of us are able to experience life with all five. So, George, let's start out with arguably the most important of our five senses, sight. What was your favorite, most impactful sight of 2019?
You know, it happened a few times, in Washington, D.C. twice and once here in Atlanta. And that was, I got to see more Van Gogh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I really had a good year of seeing some interesting art. In Washington, D.C., I got to go to the place called the Phillips Collection. That's the actual name of a museum. It's in a brownstone just outside of DuPont Circle, or right on the cusp of DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C. Went there, was a little bit disappointed because a lot of their major pieces were gone. As it turns out, they were on loan to Atlanta's High Museum. So I came back to Atlanta and saw the Phillips Collection at the High Museum. So that was entertaining. But also in D.C., of course, you know, you've got the museums on the mall. So the National Gallery of Art, and it seems like there was another place. But yeah, it was awesome. And I probably need to be keeping a log of which ones I've seen of his, which Van Gogh's I've seen. But maybe I can still do that because I always take a picture of those things. Yeah, so Van Gogh.
Well, I think it's really connected with travel for me. I think one of the most important sites that I was really inspired by was when I was at the Pride 48 Expo in New Orleans this past August.
Oh, cool.
I had been in the city probably for, I think it was going on my fifth day. And this is after the Pride 48 event. And it was my last day in town. And it was on a Monday morning. And I had the opportunity to wander through the French Quarter with just me, myself, and I. And, you know, it's a Monday morning. In New Orleans, everyone is getting back to their day-to-day existence. It's not a weekend. It was very quiet in the French Quarter. And I was just struck by all of the architecture that was in the French Quarter. And I was really inspired. And I took several photographs with my iPhone. And being in an area where you're really not familiar, you have to pay attention. So this really inspired me, and I took some of the best photos that I've taken in quite some time. And I was able to kind of take that experience back home for me, there is a brewery, an old brewery that's by my house that has been converted into artists' lofts. And there are some, there's a market that's in the old keg warehouse. And so I was able to kind of go around that complex with that same attitude of being open to what things look like. And I also took some fantastic photos, which I actually have planned to have printed and framed.
So you know what they call that, don't you?
What do they call that?
Developing your eye.
That's right.
You know, I mean, honestly, I love that technology. Don't get me wrong. I love people who have this love and passion for photography and know how to use a DSLR or even the old school film cameras and do everything on manual, doing everything based on aperture and shutter speed and whatnot. But I love the fact that you don't have to do that because I think it takes more to learn that and to be able to have it ready, have those settings ready instantaneously to take advantage of a fast moving shot or something that you don't have a ton of time to sit there and compose the shot, right? So I love what the iPhone does in terms of being able to let people focus on developing their eye. Like you, as long as you wipe the camera lens off, for the love of God.
That's right.
I love that. That's cool. So you've been, I know I've noticed a couple of your pictures this year after you returned from New Orleans. So you think that'll be a big thrust for you in 2020?
Yeah, actually, I'm trying to make art more of a practice, and there are several realms that I would like to explore in 2020, and photography is certainly one of them, as is music. We're going to talk about hearing in a sec, and so we can talk about that as well.
Well, yeah, let's get into it. It's arguably, maybe not based on our deserted island comments, but it's arguably the second most important sense. What sound did you enjoy most in 2019?
Well, you know, iTunes and Apple Music started doing something, I think it was about 6 months ago or so, where every Monday I get a list of songs that my friends, you know, how we have friends on every platform. And I was able to start listening to music that I wasn't familiar with. And I think these platforms are really good at that. And I have to say the one thing that struck out most for me was when I was watching Netflix, I was watching The Politician, which stars Ben Platt, and just how phenomenal his voice is. And it's not often that we come across an artist that has some true talent, and his voice just blew me away. And so I've added his latest album to my library, and it's just phenomenal, just the way that he approaches voice, and he also plays piano as well, which is, you know, kind of old school when you come to think of it in music terms these days.
Well, I mean, kids, I promise, we haven't... We haven't shared notes on this. In fact, we specifically decided we would not write on our shared notes page. We wouldn't put our selections on these this year. And my number one sound of the year was actually Ben Platt.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
So, yeah. For me, I got to see him at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center. He's pretty incredible. He sang, I think it was on the 2018 Grammys, not this year's Grammys, but last year's Grammys. And he sang Somewhere. And it's probably one of the most amazing recorded versions of that song I've seen anywhere. And I've gone back and read a little bit about it. Like, his vocal ability is just stunning. So yeah, I enjoyed that. I think it's called Sing to Me Instead. So his first album, basically. And that's all I heard at the concert. He has since come out with the second album. That's probably the one you have. I have not listened to that yet. I'm still listening to Sing to Me Instead. It is, I think I've branded it as the Alanis Morissette of the emo age.
I think that's a pretty accurate description.
Yeah. Yeah, the boy does have a good voice. So even if you don't care for the topic or the tone or the content of it, you have to acknowledge he's got an amazing voice.
We come to the olfactory system, George. So what smell of 2019 was the most relevant for you?
Well, I had a hard time picking just one because there were a couple things that just really popped. So I'm going to cheat. This year, I did get out a little. 2018 was an awful year. Didn't go anywhere. Didn't do anything. This year, between work and then personal vacation time, I was able to get out of the house a little bit. And most recently was in New York. And my friend who I crashed with in New Jersey, he always has the best recommendations. He's the one that recommended that we see Memphis and the musical Memphis and The Color Purple, which I'm so glad he made that recommendation. It was amazing. But this time he recommended that we do a food tour. It's a walking food tour. And there's like five of them throughout all the boroughs. This one happened but to be in Greenwich Village. So we were largely in the West Village. And about 3 hours just going from store to store to restaurant. Sometimes we would go in. Sometimes we would huddle as a group of 15 outside. And we went into this place called O & Co., an olive oil place, and supposedly headquartered in Italy, but had a store here in the States, and they probably have more than one store. But they were purveyors of fine olive oils, truffle oil, and balsamic vinegars. That's largely the extent of their store, but it was pretty amazing. And so we got to dabble a little bit with truffle oil, and that probably should be a taste, but it's probably more the smell than anything else. And the other is really embarrassing to admit, but I have apparently not cooked a lot with rosemary and thyme in my life. And so I think actually it was my very first meal with the Instant Pot was a roast, and following the menu or the recipe that I found online was to rub the pot roast with a combination of like salt, pepper, onion powder, garlic powder, and dried rosemary and dried thyme. And when I did that and seared the roast like one does, Jesus, that was amazing smell. I was just like, I'm sorry, why have I never been cooking with rosemary and thyme?
Yeah, well, they are strong flavors, and they're very distinct. And it's really amazing how well those two interact with each other.
Yeah, and my mother didn't cook with those when
grandma. No, mine didn't either. It was many years later where my friend Kathleen made her infamous rosemary lemon roasted chicken, where you know the packages of rosemary that you find in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Well, her recipe calls for two of those.
Oh my goodness!
And it's the chicken is stuffed with probably like 20 to 40 cloves of garlic and two lemons and just a crap ton of rosemary, and it's so delicious.
I want to go to there. Can you give me that recipe? Seriously, I'd love to.
Sure, I can certainly write something up for you. I've made it a few times myself. It's pretty amazing.
Garlic, lemon, I'm on board. And now with my, my newfound love of Rosemary. Well, we're dating right now. It's not really love. So we'll see how it goes. All right. So, and now for the one that I think may be our personal favorite, our sense of taste. What was your must have taste of the year?
Well, I think we should cheat a little bit and let's do two. Let's talk about taste in liquid form and then taste in solid options.
I love it. I love it. I'm happy to do it. You go first.
Okay. Well, as you know, this year I've been trying to get outside of my comfort zone and meeting different people. And so I went to meet up and I found a group of gay men who enjoy craft beer. So this past year in 2019, I've been going to, there are over 175 tap rooms in Minnesota in the seven county metro area.
I'm sorry, between how many?
175.
Jesus.
And more and more are coming online every day. As a matter of fact, I was in a brand new one that opened in November last month. And it's just, you know, they're just cropping up like mushrooms. Wow. Really. So I've been tasting a lot of local beer, which is has been a lot of fun and has just really added to my enjoyment of craft beer. So that is my liquid option. And then the solid option is, I think I mentioned this on my personal journal podcast, that I'm moving more towards a plant-based diet. And so I've been really enjoying vegan cooking, which is a little bit different. It's more of a challenge because you don't necessarily rely on animal products or fats, cheese, that sort of thing, dairy. And so you have to kind of branch out and you're using different stocks, vegetable stock or bouillon, vegetable bouillon, and combining all of these whole foods. One of the best things that I had was just this past week. I made a Instant Pot dish that was sweet potatoes and black beans. And I seasoned it with chili powder and cumin and smoked paprika. And it's just amazing how well sweet potatoes and black beans, I had no idea that they went so well together.
How long have you been doing this?
Well, let's see. It's been a concerted effort probably in the last couple of months. I've been working through, I do have some animal products that are in my freezer that I'm working through, but I have not actually bought meat except for one occasion where I was having some friends over for dinner and I needed some boneless, skinless chicken thighs for a soup that I was making. I think it's been probably 4 months since I've purchased any meat. So,
wow. Yeah. So is it primarily, tell me about the motivation. Is it primarily health? Is it a combination of things?
My first two things are the first and foremost is my health. You know, as you know, I've lost about 77 pounds on Weight Watchers and kind of hit a plateau. And then their program changed, which is basically adding in more zero-point foods in whole grains, whole wheat pastas, potatoes, wonderful things like that. So it's part of that is just having more fruits and vegetables and fiber and grains and nuts in my diet. And it it feels great. I like the way that I feel when I eat this way. And the second reason is that I really don't think our planet can sustain the average American diet. Just the way agribusiness is being run and just so many resources going towards the planet, you know, with climate change and that sort of thing, I just made a personal decision that I think it might be good for us to kind of step back on that consumption of so many resources. So those are the two motivating factors for that.
So did you have a, on the craft beer, good for you, by the way, that's, I would imagine, not a very easy change to make. Probably better if you are someone who enjoys cooking and isn't shy of, you know, putting black beans and sweet potatoes together, you know. what was your favorite craft beer?
Oh, it's hard to say. I really can't point towards a favorite because it's so amazing that each brewery that I go to, I can find something that I like. I have a tendency to like more of the Belgian style ales and that sort of thing, and also some of the wheat beers. Especially they have a German, you know, heritage, which is where my people come from. So, yeah, it's hard to say. There's not one that I can point out and say that's it.
Yeah. Just based on the number of badges I've seen on your Twitter feed, I'm just like, this is an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Anyway. Yeah. For me, for the drink side, great idea, by the way. For the drink side, Turkish tea and coffee was kind of big for me this year. My neighbor is originally from Turkey, and his mother visits a couple times a year, and she's on an extended visit right now. So I've had ample glasses of Turkish tea and coffee, so much so that I am actually going to start making that for myself. The Turkish tea is a whole leaf tea process, and I love the idea of whole leaf tea. And it's, you know, it's like one of those things, you watch a YouTube video and you're like, I had no idea this was a whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm really not a tea drinker. And if I am, it's more so in the winter. But once I started sort of getting into some of the whole leaf stuff, I've learned, wow, that's amazing. And the different pots that are out there. The Turkish tea process is interesting in and of itself. It's a double, and I don't know enough about tea to know if there are, this is similar to other types of tea process, but it's a double pot method where you're boiling water in the lower pot. You are also taking some boiled water and steeping tea in the upper pot. And the whole leaf teas eventually settle once they steep. And so you pour out the sort of concentrated tea into a glass. And then based on your desired strength of the tea, you pour water from the second pot, the bottom pot, to the degree that you want it stronger, you pour less in. Or if you want it a little weaker, you put more water in, which is fascinating to me. The coffee is even more crazy. they have these tiny little, they look like a tiny little pot with a handle, with a long handle.
Yep, it's called an ebrick.
Ebrick, thank you. So my friend's mother gave me one. And I've watched a few videos. She's going to bring me some Turkish coffee on her next trip in. But meanwhile, I'm going to just super grind some super fine coffee at some point. And try this notion of, it's a tiny little, you know, one cup Turkish tea cup of water, excuse me, one Turkish coffee cup of water to one heaping Turkish teaspoon of the coffee, stir it, bring it to a boil, quickly pour off the foam from the first boil, put it back on, let it boil up again, pour off that foam, and then slowly pour as much of the non-residue into the cup. I mean, like, it's fascinating to watch, and it tastes pretty good. I don't know that I could be a 3-cup drinker of Turkish tea. Yeah. I mean, Turkish coffee.
It's intense, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it's fascinating to watch and to make. I'll probably end up drinking tea, I think, a lot more frequently than coffee in general. But yeah, it's neat. It's been great learning a lot about their, you know, Turkish culture and food, and yeah, a ton of different. In fact, I just got back from having lunch with them today, and yet, you know, 2 or 3 more items that I, you know, just flavor combinations I've never had in my life. Just like, wow, I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah, it's fascinating how much grains, nuts, chickpea, those 3 things I just mentioned were in a dessert. Mm-hmm. It's just fascinating. You know, apricots, and it's fascinating. Also got to have Turkish Delight. They brought me some Turkish Delight. So that was cool. For my food. Yeah. I don't know. Too many to mention. Probably the instrument I would focus on is the Instant Pot. I just got addicted to the Instant Pot, and it's so new. I think I can count what I've made on one hand. Pot roast, the aforementioned pot roast, cheesecake, chicken marsala. I want to say, is that it? Yeah, baked a potato. I had a calamity. Those who follow me on Twitter or social medias in general will probably already know about this. But so the Instant Pot comes with a liner pot inside, and you are not supposed to put any water or food substances in the Instant Pot without the liner pot. And I poured 1.5 cups of water into the Instant Pot without the liner pot.
Yeah, and did it survive?
It did survive. Okay. It appears to have. I've had a couple tests since then. I'm just absolutely gobsmacked that pouring something into what is essentially the bottom of a crock pot without the liner could absolutely destroy the entire product. I'm like, nobody thought to work on this. This was not, but I sort of instantly realized what I'd done and quickly went to the internet and read what you're supposed to do. And thankfully it didn't destroy it. That's fine.
Well, and that leads us to our last sense of touch. So George, what did you lay your hands on in 2019 that it made an impact on your year?
Well, I'm going to go in the opposite direction, not my hands, but my feet. So for me, I hit the pavement a lot, touched the pavement a lot in 2019. After I sold my car even before I sold my car, in late May, I started walking, doing the 10,000 steps a day, and got up to like 350,000 steps a month at the high point. So hitting the pavement was definitely the sense of touch for me. And that's only sort of increased while my steps go down a little bit when the weather gets colder, but walking is a more part of the regular part of the daily routine now, as I walk to the public transit station, the grocery store, things like that. So, hitting the pavement would be my touch. How about you?
Well, I really kind of put a lot of stock in self-care. And that one of the areas that I concentrate on is, you know, my physical body. And since I'm also doing a lot of exercise and, you know, the stress of day-to-day living is such that I make sure that I schedule a monthly full-body massage with a friend of mine who's a massage therapist. And so I make sure that's part of my monthly sort of regimen.
Nice.
And it's really helped because I've had some problems with my shoulder this past year, and fortunately it is clearing up, but it's been a kind of a long, slow process. So that's kind of what I concentrate on.
I don't think I've ever had a massage. There was once like one of those sort of portable massage chairs where you sit in and somebody sort of massages your shoulder. I think I did that once. Found it kind of painful the next day. So I think maybe the person wasn't that good, or maybe I really need it. I don't know. But it's not been a thing for me. But you enjoy it.
I do. I do.
Now, are you doing one of those massage envy things, or is this a one-off someone that you know that does it?
It's someone that I know that does it. And so I schedule with her once a month. It's usually on a Sunday. And then she and her husband and I go out for lunch afterwards. So, you know,
nice.
she's a friend of mine as well. So
she's an independent contractor.
Yes.
Not part of the massage envy, which is huge, I understand.
Well, no, she is a licensed massage therapist. And she also works out of her home with some clients, and then she is connected with a chiropractic clinic as well.
Mm, nice. So what does 2020 look like for you?
Well, 2020 looks like I'm going to continue on with my health journey, see where that leads me. I kind of like to, there are three things that I'm concentrating on physically and mentally. And the first one is to kind of get back into yoga. The second thing is to learn how to kayak this year. And the third one, which I've already started, is I'm teaching myself how to play the piano.
Nice.
Yes.
Wonderful. In all fairness, Mark and I have talked about this piano business a little bit.
Yeah, we should do a show on it. Coming up.
Right. Yeah, I have also, for the third time in my adult life, purchased a keyboard and am also, as of literally as of last week, trying to slowly and methodically teach myself to. You know, what's different about this time compared to the last two times is there's just a lot more resources online. There's also apps that you can put on your iPad and set your iPad where the music notes would ordinarily be, or your music sheets of music would be. And it's, you know, it takes access of your microphone and can hear the notes that you're playing and tell you if you're doing it wrong. Like, the technology is so much more advanced. I have to say I'm in a little bit of, technique overload right now, because I've subscribed to two apps in the free period. I'm not sure which one I will wind up actually paying for, if any, but also have stumbled into a few folks on the YouTube, one of which you told me about, but I've also come into a couple of others, and I'm just like, okay, we're going to need to cull this field of instruction down to one or two, because like, they all have like a little bit of something that makes it, you know, more interesting. It's something that will take years in the making. But I don't know about you, but it gives me it just sort of takes you away while you're focusing on it. Cause you're just able to focus solely on that and turn the phone off and turn the notifications off on the iPad. So, so you can just sort of immerse yourself into, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Important things like that.
Yes, very important.
Well, that sounds like you've got a great year lined up. Much the same for me. Continue to work on losing weight and getting healthier, and working on debt and income kind of stuff, which, you know, is not so much a New Year's resolution as just a new way of life. Not trying to overdo it in 2020. So just kind of see what the year holds. I think I'll share here. I've shared it on my podcast. The Georgia Atlanta podcast is going to go away in 2020. It's probably going to go away before 2020. That would be tomorrow. And then we're going to reboot a show called This Week in Gay, which was a weekly podcast about gay news and issues and whatnot. And I always had a bit of a heartburn about that show going away. Anthony Anselmo did a great job at keeping a group of folks together and talking occasionally about issues that impact the entire LGBTQIA community. And I recently reached out to him and asked if it would be all right if I rebooted it. He was fine with it. And so we're moving forward. I'm happy to say that Mark has agreed to be an occasional guest host on the show.
Yes, I have.
I'm looking forward to it. We have currently more than a dozen who've agreed to join, and people will have the intent is not to have the same cast every week. The intent is to pull sort of depending on the topics of the day, pulling from a pool of people. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a bit of work committing to a weekly podcast.
Yes, it is. Given my,
but I'm working on some different show formats that that I can sort of gang tackle and record at one time and basically sort of stock the cabinet, if you will. So I think it's needed. If we've learned nothing in the last couple of years, we've learned that, you know, that there is no safety in the Supreme Court decision of a few years ago.
That's correct.
Regarding marriage equality. The forces are out to change things the way that fits their conservative minds, and it behooves us all to be as connected as we can and be as informed as we can, and that's the goal will be the goal for This Week in Gay, is just to try and help continue the narrative and continue the conversation.
All right. Well, how was your year? If you want to share your favorite taste, sight, smell of the year, hit us up on Twitter. Where can they find you, George?
Well, I still will be at George in Atlanta for this show.
And you can find me at Laughing Buddha. That's LaFFingBuddha.
And we should not go without saying we plan to record in 2019.
Oh, yes.
This show is not ending. We will certainly, we're going to endeavor to do a few more shows than we did last year. We hope to hit up your ears a little more frequently. Well, Mark, have a wonderful new year. Do you subscribe to this notion of whatever you're doing when the new year rings in is what you'll be doing all year round?
No.
Okay, good. No. Good. Because if that's the case, I need to get my ass on that keyboard about 11:59.
Yep, absolutely.
Right. All right. Have a good one. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaFFingBuddha. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.